Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thomas and Eunice Pinginot in here in an attempt to read what we see in the Courier for Sunday, December 5th. Forecast today, cloudy and breezy. This morning, high at 45 and low in the lower 20s. It's getting worse to see a lot less to read in the Courier, but there's a couple of no hard news on the front page of the paper. First of all, a Cedar Falls couple completes cruise of a lifetime, and then art and space reimagined. Eunice?
6,000-mile loop, one of the world's most unique adventures. Bud and Sue Hansen have spent the last 4 years cruising America's rivers, waterways, lakes, and bays aboard their 38-foot boat, the Odyssey, soaking in the country's history and panoramic views and experiencing its diverse people, food, and cultures. "We're fortunate to be retired so we could do this," said Bud. Formerly from Cedar Falls, the couple presently lives in Waverly. This fall, the couple received their Bacalaureate degree from America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. The degree recognized their completion of one of the world's most unique adventures, America's Great Loop. Boaters during the Great Loop make a 6,000-mile journey that circumnavigates the eastern part of the United States and Canada, cruising up the Atlantic Intercoastal Waterway through the New York State Canals into the Great Lakes, down the Island River system, across the Gulf of Mexico, and around the southern tip of Florida. Approximately 150 boats complete the Great Loop each year, making it a feat more unique than swimming the English Channel or climbing Mount Everest. In many ways, it was the trip of a lifetime, although the Hansons have actually cruised 10,000 to 11,000 miles, beginning with their first boat, a 32-foot Marionette. "We liked the lifestyle and sold that boat and found a boat we could live on, the Odyssey," Bud said. "We were 100 days on that first boat, and we've lived on this new boat 960 days. The couple said their home in July, sold their home in July 2017 and moved aboard the boat. They began their Great Loop at O'Grees, Michigan, and followed the Illinois River to Grafton and the confluence of the Illinois and Mississippi rivers. "Sue described the Mississippi as a very busy river, and we were on it for just over 272 miles. They found their way to the Tennessee River and eventually to Mobile, Alabama, and the Gulf of Mexico. We made a night cruising of the Gulf in December 2017. It was an amazing experience. The water was like glass, and that isn't always the case. It can be pretty rough. But we had a super moon overhead and dolphins swimming alongside the boat for miles. It was a long journey. We were traveling at 9 miles per hour," Sue recalled. They were part of a casual flotilla of 6 or 7 other boats to arrive on the Florida side about 10 a.m. the next morning. Their travels have taken them to Key West, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, among other locations in Florida. This spring, they watched the SpaceX lift off from the water near Cape Canaveral. Other scenic locations they enjoyed include Hilton Head, South Carolina, and Barrier Islands along the eastern seaboard, Baltimore, New York City, and Jamestown, Virginia, up the James River from Chesapeake Bay as well as Sister Bay, Wisconsin, and all points in between. "We've seen stunning beaches, glorious sunrises and sunsets from everywhere on our cruises. So many wonderful things," said Sue, who kept a blog and Facebook page to let followers keep up with their explorations. Her favorite spot included Georgia's Chamberlain Island National Seashore with its Wild Horse Sanctuary and the St. Johns River, the longest river in Florida, and its warm middle basin where manatees retreat in winter months. Bud particularly enjoyed being at the helm as he piloted the Odyssey through the Erie Canal in New York State. "They've spent winters in Florida, including Fort Myers Beach, particularly during COVID. When the pandemic hit, we opted to stay in Florida. One thing cruisers enjoy is gathering for cocktails on the dock at sunset. But during COVID, we had dingy cocktails. We'd get our snacks and beverages, climb into the dinghy, and meet everyone on the water," Sue explained.
Dinghy.
Yeah. We made so many friends and met some interesting people, from pilots and physicians and lawyers and retirees to people living off the grid who wouldn't give their last names. Last winter, the Hansons spent time in Savannah, Georgia, awaiting shaft repairs on the Odyssey. When they put the boat back in the water this spring, they'd be flying their gold Great Loop flag, presented to the Hansons when they crossed the loop near Detroit in August. It's one way cruisers recognize each other. We've made lifelong friends. They understand all about your journey, which is great, Sue said. Boating season is short, and the Hansons, who celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary in 2019, are anticipating fulfilling their bucket list wish to cruise Canada waterways next year. For more information on America's Great Loop, go to the website.
Man sentenced an overdose death. Former Waterloo man gets 40 years in death of a Cedar Falls woman. A former Waterloo man who will spend the next 40 years in prison for selling heroin to a Cedar Falls woman who died of an overdose in 2018. In handing down the sentence, U.S. District Court Judge C.J. Williams said there was no way Eric D'Angelo Griggs, 40, couldn't have known about the lethal potential of heroin and other opioids. Griggs, who was found guilty of distribution of heroin resulting in death and use of a telephone and Facebook Messenger to facilitate heroin distribution during the 2021 trial, was also ordered to pay $16,000 in restitution to the woman's family for a funeral and other expenses. Federal sentencing guidelines has recommended a punishment between 30 years and life. The judge also found that Griggs had obstructed justice by sending a threatening letter to a person he thought who was cooperating with investigators and U.S. Assistant U.S. Attorney Patrick Reinert noted Griggs had a list of prior convictions for drugs, fraud, and other offenses, calling him a long-term criminal. Both factors were considered during the sentencing. Authorities allege Griggs, originally from Chicago, sold heroin to the woman on August 31, 2018. She was found dead the following morning, and an autopsy determined she died of heroin intoxication. Investigators found text and social media messages on her phone and used the phone to set up another heroin transaction. Griggs was detained when he arrived at the meeting place. Reinert and Griggs showed no emotion or concern when he was told about the death during a police interview. The woman's mother said Griggs had taken advantage of people's addictions for financial benefit. She said her family was devastated by the death, and she finds it challenging to find joy in life. I wake up every day hoping this is just a nightmare, the mother said. Griggs continues to maintain he is innocent, telling the mother, I'm sorry for your loss. I'm innocent, but a jury found me guilty.
Art and Space Reimagined. Spray-painted Sistine Chapel replica venue now, Capella Magna. COVID-19 shuttered many downtown Waterloo restaurants, some temporarily, some for good. But Galleria di Paco seemed to exist in limbo. The Rosick family, which opened the restaurant in 2016, kept getting calls and messages from both longtime patrons and tourism officials. When would they reopen the fine dining establishment known for its artisty planting and Paco Rosick's world-famous spray paint replica Sistine Chapel? Business was good. We had success, Jackie Rosick said. But Paco Rosick, who spent the last year and a half rediscovering his art after 15 years of restaurant labor, he's producing his own feature-length film, Without You, set to premiere in February. Didn't want to go back to the way things were. After COVID hit, I was happy to be closed, to be honest with you, because I was burnt out, he said. When we were open, I didn't produce a lot of work, paintings. I was stuck here in the kitchen. Instead, the Rosicks, Paco, along with his parents, Jackie and Anna, are opening Capella Magna, Iowa's newly imagined premier destination venue, in the space at 620 Commercial Street. Cappella Magna is the original Italian name for the Sistine Chapel, Jackie Rosick noted. It changed to Cappella Sistine after it was restored in 1480. Initially, the Rosicks mulled over whether to simply transition the space to Paco's art gallery and give tours.
It could be a mistake, 1480. What year was that?
I don't know. 1480. I don't know. Was restored. That's, I don't know.
What, the Sistine Chapel? Or?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Okay.
People have been asking to rent this space. Paco said, I was thinking, let's open something different, not a restaurant. Small groups reserving in advance seemed to be a good compromise. Patrons could continue to dine while admiring the art, and Paco could continue to plate the food artistically without the nightly grind of it, saving time to focus on his other art projects. People eat with their eyes, he said. My goal, if they cater from me, I want to have the best presentation so it looks like a piece of artwork. Cappella Magna will host private gatherings like weddings, birthdays, and business events in both its upstairs and downstairs spaces. They've already booked several Christmas parties over the next month, with its first event planned for Tuesday. Prices are $45 per person and include four courses, four events. While catering prices are by the tray and a dinner tour complete with a 30-minute tour, 18-minute documentary film, and an alcoholic beverage is the same price. The Rosicks say those wanting to book should do at least a few weeks in advance to secure their date. December is already booked, thanks to the word of mouth, they said. We did survive almost 15 years running this place and had a nice success, Jackie Rosick said. We are proud and happy. To reserve the space for more information, call them at 833-7226.
Condo site plans on Cedar Falls Council agenda. Roundabout PSO jobs will also be discussed at Monday's meeting. The controversial site plans for the Creekside luxury condos at the corner of Cedar Heights and Valley High Drives will come before the Cedar Falls City Council for final approval Monday. The future 6-12-plex condominium buildings, which received objections from two nearby homeowners associations during the planning process, will be considered by councilors at the meeting beginning 7 p.m. in City Hall. In addition, other items related to the public safety, captain and lieutenant job descriptions, roundabouts, labor union agreements, and a contract extension for the compost facility management company dot the lengthy agenda. A brief committee of the whole meeting is scheduled to begin at 6:30 p.m. at City Hall. A Grow Cedar Valley update is the only item listed for discussion. Options for remote participation are available for the 6:30 and 7 p.m. meetings. The three-story condos have attached garages, have been discussed for months after having gone through the rezoning and land use map amendment process and then the site plan and plat review. They date back to last year when a petition to opposition was signed by residents of the Legacy Cove and Valley High Condo Association on Legacy Lane and Orchard Drive. Concerns have been voiced at recent Planning and Zoning Commission meetings. Some revolved around stormwater management, and most, if not all, of the various concerns, depending on who was asked, were addressed. At least one homeowner association representative had concerns about the developer following through on their accommodations. The Planning and Zoning Commission voted to advance them to council last month, and if given the final green light, LG Companies LLC, which is the developer, in agreement to purchase the land from Heartland Homes of Cedar Valley Incorporated for $400,000, will build the owner-occupied condos in phases on the 6.38 acres. Also, Monday's agenda for council consideration are the new job description for public safety supervisor positions, captain and lieutenant, that were revised in response to the International Association of Firefighters Local 1366 versus City of Cedar Falls Court case ruling by District Judge Bradley Harris in October. In addition, Council will consider accepting Peterson Contractors' low bid of $3,329,289 for the Green Hill Road and South Main Roundabout Project, and executing three purchase agreements with private property owners for acquiring permanent and temporary construction easements. December 20th is the date before the Council for scheduling its public hearing on its Main Street reconstruction project, which involves the addition of four roundabouts between 6th Street and Searley Boulevard and making the street a three-lane corridor with on-street bike lanes. Also slated for December 20th, pending Council's blessing, is another public hearing for new ward and precinct boundaries drafted based on the 2020 census. Those were not immediately available to the public and have been and have to be requested from the city staff. A $72,880 one-year contract extension will be considered for T&W Grinding's yard waste management services at the city compost facility. That is a 4% raise for a company that has been under contract for the past 2 years. Also, under consideration is an ordinance on second reading establishing 7% annual increases in sanitary sewer rates for the next 5 years in support of major nutrient reduction wastewater treatment facility upgrades costing more than $110 million. After holding an executive session, Council will reconvene to consider approving two tentative agreements with labor unions, one with Teamsters Union, Local 238, Parks and Public Works, and Teamsters Union Local Number 238, Public Safety, for June 25th, 2022 through July 2nd, 2022. According to Mayor Rob Green, agenda item number 11, the submission of a 2022 Most Endangered Properties nomination for the Honors College at the University of Northern Iowa to Preservation Iowa will not come before Council Monday because input from UNI officials is still being weighed. Last month, the Board of Regents tabled a request to RAS the former residences of the Honors College and Alumni House.
COVID claims longtime College Hill restaurant. Other place location, founded in 1970, has closed permanently. After more than half a century in business, a stable restaurant on College Hill closed its doors on Wednesday amid the COVID-19 pandemic and a growing trend of eateries and bars moving away from there. The other place, known to locals as the OP, has closed the first bar it founded in 1970 at 2214 College Street in Cedar Falls. Over the years, the establishment has grown to become a sports bar and restaurant with legendary pizza in nearly a dozen places throughout Iowa and Kansas. At the end of the day, it's sad, and we're reeling from it, but it's a decision that had to be made, said Darren Corson, a partner in the group that owns the OP. Our business wasn't sustainable anymore. Asked about the possibility of staffing shortages and declining revenue leading to its demise during a quick telephone interview on a busy Friday afternoon from the 4214 University Avenue location, Corson said everybody in the world is facing similar circumstances because of the pandemic, but acknowledged that the OP on College Hill couldn't get enough people to work during the daytime. Corson also contended there's been a change in the landscape on the hill. Lots of bars and restaurants have left the scene. He gave examples such as Tony's Pizza, Beck's Sports Grill, and the Stein. Back 50 years ago, it was primarily a college bar that served and delivered pizza, according to its website, and it described as being a memorable part of the college experience by generations of UNI students across the country. It grew to offer homemade pizza, oven-baked subs, sandwiches, pastas, and salads. It has been a great pleasure to be part of the College Hill District for 50 years. Unfortunately, though, all great things come to an end. The OP wrote in a post on Facebook on Wednesday, effective today, we will be closing our location on College Hill. It has been a great ride up on the hill, but the last couple of years with COVID and all that it brings has been too much for us to continue. We thank you for all the years of patronage and hope to see you at one of our other locations throughout the Cedar Valley. It was a heartwarming, Corson said. It was heartwarming, Corson said, to see a few hundred comments on the Facebook post. Some included memories as a former worker or patron. Others reflected on how sad it is for University of Northern Iowa students who spent countless hours hanging out there over the decades. One Facebook user asked if owners will auction off some of the memorabilia from the restaurant. Another urged them to not sell another vape shop like others have done on the hill. Corson said his favorite memory from the OP on College Hill where he began as a dishwasher more than three decades ago. It's the great people he met over the years. No plans are currently in place for what may take over the spot at 2214 College Street, he said. And when asked about selling off memorabilia, he downplayed the possibility, noting there is not a lot of stuff to give away. He said 10 to 15 employees who work there have been given opportunities to work at the ownership group other establishments. Remaining OP locations will stay open, Carson said, including the University Avenue location and those in Waterloo, Evansdale, Waverly, Clear Lake, Ankeny, and Clive. The College Hill location underwent a major remodel a few years ago, but kept its legendary pizza ovens intact, which was viewed as a big deal at the time. It's the end of a 51-year-old run, but we're hopeful that with one door closing, another one will open, Carson said.
Iowa teens charged with killing teacher remain jailed. The boy's attorney has asked the judge to reduce bond. Two Iowa teenagers charged with first-degree murder and conspiracy to commit murder in the death of their high school Spanish teacher will remain in jail after a judge opted to keep their bail bond at $1 million cash only in a decision released Friday. Attorneys for Willard Noble, Chaden Miller, and Jeremy Everett Goodale, both 16, asked Judge Joel Yates to reduce their bond so they could be released from custody while awaiting trial. Prosecutors resisted, citing the brutal nature of the teacher's death, and asked that the bond be maintained at $1 million or even raised to $2 million. Yates said in a written ruling issued Thursday and posted Friday that he considered several factors, including the nature and circumstances of the offenses charged, family ties, and financial resources. The attorneys for both teams declined to comment on the judge's decision. Goodall's attorney, Nicole Jensen, argued in a November 23rd hearing that the $1 million cash bond is so far unobtainable that it amounts to pretrial detention without bond. Miller's attorney, Christine Branstead, offered similar arguments, adding that detaining juveniles away from their family for prolonged periods before a trial can have a detrimental effect on them and stunt their development. Assistant Iowa Attorney General Scott Brown said the two teens engaged in extremely brutal murder and an extremely brutal murder of an innocent person. And Jefferson County Attorney Chauncey Molding said there is no level of outside supervision that would ensure the safety of the community. Molding did not immediately respond to a message. Graber, 66, was reported missing November 2nd, and her remains were found later that day at a Fairfield park where she was known to take daily walks. Earlier court filings stated that Graber suffered inflicted trauma to the head. Her body was found concealed under a tarp, wheelbarrow, and railroad ties at the Chautauqua Park in Fairfield, about 95 miles southeast of Des Moines. Police said in court documents that they received a tip that Goodall posted details about planning the killing on social media. The documents indicated police investigators found clothing that appeared to contain blood at the homes of the teens. Documents also said Miller admitted to being at the park where Graber was killed and to providing materials used to kill her and conceal her death. Both teens attended Graber's Spanish class in Fairfield High School, where Graber had taught since 2012. You were listening to the reading of the Courier for Sunday, December 5th on IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service to the Blind. Now, says she, we're going to look at the obituaries.
Mark Kenneth Peterson, Denver. Mark Kenneth Peterson, 64, of Denver, Iowa, died November 30th, 2021, after a battle with pancreatic cancer. Mark joined the Air Force and was stationed at Loring Air Force Base, ME, is that Maryland? And Offutt Air Force Base in Nebraska. He served about 2 years in the Strategic Air Command Elite Guard and then left active service and attended Iowa State University, earning his bachelor and master's degrees. Service times are Tuesday, December 7th at 11 at Prairie Lakes Church in Cedar Falls. Details on the Richardson website.
Jack Wielenga, Wielenga, 87, of Cedar Falls, died at home on Sunday, November 21st. Attended Northwest Junior College in Orange City, earned a bachelor's from Iowa State Teachers College, and now UNI, and his master's also at UNI. Served honorably in the Navy from 56 to 58, taught high school briefly before working both as a registrar and director of administration at UNI, retired in 1998 with 40 years of service. Services will be at 11 a.m. Saturday, January 8th at Prairie Lakes Church in Cedar Falls. Military honors conducted by Cedar Falls AMVETS Post 49 and U.S. Navy Funeral Honors Detail. Memorials directed to the church.
Waterloo. Kenneth E. Lind, 92, of Waterloo, died Wednesday, December 1, at the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics. He served in the U.S. Marine Corps during the Korean War. Funeral service and military honors for Kenneth will be held at 2 p.m. on Monday, December 6, 2021, at Dahl Van Hoefschoel Funeral Home of Cedar Falls, with an hour of visitation prior to the service. Burial will follow at Memorial Park Cemetery. Condolences left at the website, and in lieu of flowers, memorials may be directed to the Gunflint Trail Historical Society of Grand Marais, Minnesota.
Brian Lynn McClellan, 71, of Iowa City, formerly of Delaware in Hudson, Iowa, died Friday, November 26th at Veterans Hospital in Iowa City. Attended Hudson High School and graduated from Hawkeye Tech with a State of Iowa Welding Certificate. Entered the Army in 1970. Arrived in Vietnam as a member of the Cavalry Regiment, the Black Horse ACR. On arrival, he was told to hustle off the plane as mortar rounds and 90-millimeter rockets were common events. They directed me to the mess hall, debriefed me, and then gave me a bus ride to the Cavalry Barracks at Tanzanute Air Base for 2 days of in-country training and issued weapons and uniforms for jungle warfare. We were treated more like men, not dumb children at boot camp. Watch your stuff. Don't get carried away, or you can get carried away. The next day is transferred by ammo chopper to a 31 troop of the 11th Cavalry deep in the jungle. My sergeant took me to my Sheridan and told me I would sleep next to the truck under a small lean-to. I arrived too young to be scared. Then he returned from there and worked at John Deere in Waterloo as a production welder. Got married, worked in the Wyoming oil fields, and managed a grain handling construction crew across the middle and eastern states, eventually settling in Delaware. Military memorial service will be held at a later date. Memorials directed to the family in Iowa City.
Waterloo. Richard Rick Gerkenstein Korn, I think, passed away on December 1, 2021 at Allen Memorial Hospital. He served in the United States Military Corps. Memorials directed to the family. Visitation will be Monday, December 6, 2021 at Perrotin Wood Chapel of Memories from 4 to 7 p.m. Services will be on Tuesday, December 7th at Perrotin Wood Chapel of Memories at 10:30 a.m. Burial will be at the Garden of Memories Cemetery with military rites. Perrotin Wood is handling arrangements, and condolences may be left on their website.
Gary L. Reese, 73, of Washburn, passed away unexpectedly Tuesday, November 30th at Mercy One in Waterloo. Born in Vinton, proudly served his country in the United States Marine Corps 68 through 73 during the Vietnam War, reaching the rank of sergeant. Married Vicki Guernsey Hutsky in Elk Point, South Dakota. Worked at John Deere for 45 years, retiring in 2011. In his leisure, he enjoyed shooting sports and spending time outdoors, especially walking, biking, and gardening. Online condolences left at phillipsfuneralhome.com.
Cedar Falls. Kathleen A. Kerr, age 74, of Cedar Falls, died Friday, December 3rd, at Mercy One Waterloo Medical Center. Let's see about her. She earned a BA in Russian language and literature. Oh, that's a lot. No services or other activities are planned at this time. Memorials directed to Heartland Habitat for Humanity or to animal welfare, or environmental protection causes. She is grateful to all of her wonderful friends and family and wants everyone to know what a wonderful time she had. Life, wow, what a ride. Thanks, everyone.
Hazel Grace Schleppel, S-C-H-E-P-P-E-L-E, passed away Wednesday, December 1st at Dairy Sweets. Many happy years on the golf course doing what they love best with her husband. No service in Earnment will be a family graveside service at a later date. Memorials made to Western Home Communities, Lock Funeral Home, in charge of arrangements.
Waterloo. Willie Bean DeVole, 24, of Cedar Falls, died Monday, November 20th, 21. He worked at Target Distribution Centers. He loved spending time with his dog, Mr. Bean. Visitation and time of sharing, 4 to 7 p.m., with the time of sharing at 7, December 10th, 2021, at Locke on 4th Street. Memorials are directed to Locke Funeral Home in care of Will DeVole family. And you can check their website for more information.
He was quite young, apparently. He was 24.
Yes, that's what he said.
He was 24.
I didn't read that.
All right, as I hear.
Yes.
Margaret Louise Malang Satre, S-A-T-R-E, 95 of Cedar Falls, died Wednesday, December 2nd. Born near Story City on a farm. Graduated from Randall High School in 1944. Graduated with a Bachelor of Science from St. Olaf College in Home Economics and taught Home Ec for 2 years in Minnesota before getting married in 1950. Lived in Chicago until they moved to Des Moines. And then they moved to Cedar Falls in 1974. Amazingly sharp until the end, particularly enjoying puzzles. She enjoyed visiting with many good friends and neighbors, and those conversations were often speckled with laughter, always thankful for her faith, family, and friends. Had 4 children. The funeral service for Margaret will be 10:30 a.m. Tomorrow at Nazareth Lutheran Church in Cedar Falls. Visitation 9:30 a.m. until the time of service Monday at the church. Burial at 2:30 p.m. Tomorrow also at Mount Olive Cemetery in Randall, Iowa. Dahl Van Hoff Schoof Funeral Home is assisting the families.
C. Cedar Falls. Doris L. Crandall, age 92, of Cedar Falls, died Wednesday, December 1, 2021, at Western Home Communities, Martin Suites. Let's see. Funeral services will be at 11 a.m. Tuesday, December 14th, at First United Methodist Church in Cedar Falls. Visitation from 4 to 7 p.m. Monday, December 13th, at Richardson Funeral Service, and also an hour prior to the service at church. A luncheon will be served in the church hall following the funeral. Burial will be in Dumont Cemetery in Dumont, Iowa. Memorials directed to the Western Home Foundation or the Northeast Iowa Food Bank. And you can visit the website if you want.
Robert F. Fox died November 7th. Loving husband, father, grandfather, great-grandfather passed away at his home at age 82. Was in the Navy, retired from the Navy, married in 62. During Fred's time in the Navy, he served aboard numerous air stations and ships across the globe. When he wasn't working, you could find him fishing in the golf course. Most notable achievements include 3 holes-in-1, lived his life to the fullest extent, and always ready to share a story that would captivate a crowd. The love that he shared with his friends he met along the way and his family is insurmountable. Always be remembered as an honest man that valued hard work, dependability, and loved ones dearly. Survived by his wife, his brother, sisters. Don't say anything about funeral services.
Dyke. Mervyn Dean Anderson, age 91, formerly of Dyke, died Monday, November 29th, at Mercy One Cedar Falls Medical Center. Memorial services will be held in the spring at Dyke United Methodist Church. Memorials directed to the family. And the Richardson Funeral Services assisting the family. There's more here.
Theresa Alectoria Googie Spencer, 82, of Waterloo, died Wednesday at her home. Worked 50 years in the medical profession, including 45 years at Allen Hospital, retiring in 2012. Her first job was at an OB clinic in Texas. Always worked in healthcare after moving to Iowa. Found her dream job at Allen Hospital, working several positions, her favorite being in the emergency room. My pride and joy were my children, grandchildren, and husband, the man with the golden voice. I could go on, but now words can describe, but probably no words can describe what my family meant to me, what a great rite it was. Love, Googie. Private family services were held at Mount Olivet Cemetery. Haggerty Wyckoff grew up. Funeral service on West Ridgeway assisted the family.
Cedar Falls. Herman Merle Bolin, 84, of Cedar Falls, died Tuesday, November 23rd, 2021, at Unity Point Health Allen Hospital in Waterloo. Services will be 10:30 a.m. Saturday, December 11th, at Bethany Bible Chapel in Cedar Falls. A celebration of life party will be 5 to 8 p.m. Friday, December 10th, at the church. In lieu of flowers, memorials directed to Turkey Hill Ranch Bible Camp in Vienna, Missouri, or Unity Point Hospice. Online condolences may be left at the website.
Vernon Lee Jensen passed away November 27th in Midland, Texas. Vernon, coach to his friends and students, was born February 26, 1944 in Waterloo, grew up in a small town of Dewar and graduated from Dunkerton High School before he went to attend Upper Iowa University. Sportsman through and through and played basketball, baseball, football in high school and college until a football injury ended his time as a player. Graduated from Upper Iowa with a Bachelor of Science. Went on to use his athletic prowess to coach while teaching kids about math and science. Coach Jensen started the girls' basketball program at Hudson, Iowa, and led several teams across multiple states, Iowa, Arizona, and Texas, to championship games. During his middle years, he also portrayed Honest Abe on President's Day for patriotic events. Because of his uncanny resemblance to our 16th president, he ended his career in El Paso, Texas in 2008. After 43 years of mentoring youth, focus on academic excellence, integrity in all you do, and commitment to work hard inspired students to be the best athletes and citizens they could be. Time and distance separate us, so please gather wherever you are and those you love to celebrate his life and legacy. A memorial Facebook page is available to share stories, love, and condolences and celebrate Vern's life. Memorials to Senior Life Midland, Texas.
Verl Dean Weigel, age 67, was born August 9, 1954, in Charles City, Iowa. He passed away November 12, 2021, at the University of Iowa Hospitals. Let's see. Survivors and preceded in death. Condolences sent to Evansdale, Iowa. I don't see where there is a service.
Probably
I don't see one.
Janice Hagee Boswell, 84, passed away in California October 26th. Graduated University of Iowa in 1960. Married, amazing jobs, but her longest tenure and favorite was as a secretary for Maricopa County, Arizona Sheriff's Department, where she retired from. Jan was active in communities she led. Director of golf group in Mesa, volunteered in golf tournaments. Private family burial will take place at a later date in Arizona. Condolences sent to daughter in California.
Dr. Kenneth Allen Bell, born March 2, 1940, passed away in New Orleans on November 12, 21. Let's see, survived by his family, was born in La Porte City, Iowa. Career in radiology and others. Was passionate about photography and travel. A memorial service in his honor will be held at a later date. To view and sign the guest book, visit the Lake Lawn website.
Mildred L., nickname of Mitzi, Reckward, 86, of Waterloo, died December 1st of natural causes. Graduated in lacrosse. Commercial investor member, commercial realtor working for Lockhart Real Estate, Cardinal Construction, and Iowa Realty, working until she was 75 years old. Services at 10:30 a.m. Wednesday, December 8th at Hagerty Wyckoff Group. Funeral service on West Ridgeway with burial in Waterloo Memorial Park Cemetery. Visitation Tuesday, December 7th from 4 to 7 p.m. at Hagerty Wyckoff Group Funeral Service on West Ridgeway, continuing for an hour before services Wednesday. Mass will be required.
Cedar Falls, Donna R. Maurer, 99, of Cedar Falls, died on Monday, November 29, 2021, at New Aldea Lifescapes. She was born in September of 1922. Worked as an assembler for Hinson Manufacturing for 20 years. Let's see, memorials directed to the donor's choice. Funeral services 10:30 a.m. on Saturday, December 11th at Lock at Tower Park on Kimball Avenue in Waterloo. Visitation 4 to 6 Friday, December 10th at Lock at Tower Park. Burial, Fairview Cemetery, Waterloo. Condolences left at the website.
Donald Edward Reuter, 83, passed away Tuesday, November 30th. Celebration of life will be held in Iowa next June, or of 2020, next June, yes. Rudolf Trusheim, was born near Hubbard, Iowa, passed away. Entering the mansion Jesus has prepared for him. Moved to Iowa following graduation. He was Fort Dodge District School Superintendent, very active. Oh, this is Methodist Church. Enjoyed serving the Board of Ordained Ministry. He followed him, becoming mentor to many young pastors. Celebration of Life will be 10:30 a.m. tomorrow, December 6th, in Marshalltown. Burial in Rose Hill Cemetery in Marshalltown. And lastly, Rod Richardson, 72, of Applington, died Friday at Grundy County, or Grundy Care Center and Grundy Center of Natural Causes. Private graveside services will be Friday, December 10th at Oak Hill Cemetery in Parkersburg. Visitation 4 to 7 p.m. Thursday, December 9th at Redmond Funeral and Cremation Service in Parkersburg. That, finally, is the end of the obituaries. Blondie, comic strip Blondie. Probably the Salvation Army bell ringer, anyway. Guy standing out there ringing his bell, ding, ding. Dagwood comes up with money in his hand and with a smile on his face. Dagwood's wearing a blue overcoat, black pants, brown shoes. Dagwood drops his money into the kettle. The guy says, "Whoa, thanks a lot, big spender." Dagwood says, "Big spender?" The bellman ringing the bell says, "I saw that, Scrooge. You just pitched a single dollar into my kettle." Dagwood says, "Well, a dollar's better than nothing, isn't it?" And goes on to say, "Besides, you weren't exactly ringing your bell with very much enthusiasm." "Are you kidding me?" the guy says. "Listen, Buster," he tells Dagwood, "I'm one of the best ringers in the business." "Ha, you've got nothing." Next panel, Dagwood's outside ringing the bell, clang, 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 and the guy's in the coffee shop drinking a cup of coffee. The guy at the counter handing the bell ringer the coffee says, "That new guy is really going crazy with that bell." The bell ringer says, "Yeah, I'm sort of his mentor, you might say." Onward with the comic strip Dennis the Menace. Dennis is at home at the table, eating with Margaret across the way with his parents and also there at the table, eating a plate of warm cookies, apparently, and glasses of milk. Dennis says, "Did you hear that thunder last night?" Old Margaret says, "Thunder doesn't scare me." She goes on to say in the next panel, "It's caused by a stream of electrons flowing between clouds." Next panel, her arms spread wide, and goes on to say, "That superheats the air around it." Next panel, she's going out the door. "Thanks for the cookies," she says, and Dennis is outside too with a disgusted look on his face. Dennis's dad is inside and says, "I was going to say it's the angels blowing it. Bowling in the sky." But she gives the complex explanation, scientific explanation for it.
Here is an opinion from the opinion page. Reduce counties. If the governor, legislature, and people of Iowa want to save money, look at downsizing, reorganizing the number of counties in Iowa from 99 to less. Iowa has been downsizing school districts for many years, and now it's time to do it for counties. Does every county need an auditor, sheriff, treasurer, recorder, attorney, and more? Or can some of the smaller county officials be combined with other counties? There are 30 counties in Iowa that have a population of 10,000 or less. Do you realize how much salary and benefits could be saved by not having 99 counties? People nowadays do not need to personally go to their counties for their businesses. A lot is done online, not on a home and buggy-like in the old days. Is that what that says? A lot is done online, not on a horse and buggy like in the old days. Other states have and do save money on their counties. Iowa, 99, New York, 57, Florida, 67, California, 58, Minnesota, 87, Wisconsin, 72. There are many proposals to get our counties from 99 to around 50. Want to reduce your cost to live in Iowa? Do this. Bruce Sperry, former Waterloo resident.
Bob Black in Waterloo says, during this time of removing statues of historical icons, rewriting history to suit the opinion of small groups of citizens. We must remember it's our hard-fought democracy that allow this, all of this, and without it, it would not be freedom of speech or assembly. We would not be blessed with the KKK, New Black Panthers, neo-Nazism, QAnon, cancel culture, woke, National Nation of Islam. It is well to remember democracy is a great gift to the people of the United States and not to be frittered away with dead-end thinking or actions. As Forrest Gump said, stupid is as stupid does. Next one, bad judgment. I am chagrined that the Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier would allow Chris Simonson to put excrement on your pages. And the letter must have been thanks for nothing, November 28th. I have known Simonson for many years and know he is always blunt and dedicated to his base. However, it would seem credible editors would exercise better judgment on four-letter words and punch bowls. Signed by Will and Tiefer to Cedar Falls. Cedar Falls Change. Cedar Falls Utilities sent out letters about updating their fiber net infrastructure for TV service. We will be required to install either a set-top box or tuner on TVs you wish to use. How can they limit my access to TV viewing by using my TV tuner? These devices will be free for 1 year, then apparently we will be charged a monthly fee. I used to have faith in Cedar Falls Utilities to provide honest help and support to its subscribers. Now, they are better than the major cable suppliers. It is just another way for utilities companies to charge for additional revenue. And not nice in his recent hit job aimed at liberals and his interpretation of Iowa Nice, Burl Richards left out a few details when talking about the little things communities and individuals to do to help others. He admits that his trait isn't just Iowa's. People from all over the country rise to the occasion when times are tough and someone needs a helping hand. What he does omit is, as it pertains to conservative niceties, are the following. We have a governor who puts business, religion, and so-called personal freedoms ahead of keeping Iowans safe and alive during this pandemic. We have a conservative legislature that passes laws in the dead of the night that are not supported by a majority of the Iowans. The same legislature continually keeps up with ideas that are contrary to common sense as it relates to what's good for all the people. Oh, and by the way, my truck recently broke down on a county road between the conservative cities of Waverly and Nashua. With my hood raised, 31 vehicles passed me by until a relative came to my rescue. So much for conservative Iowa Nice, signed by Mike Leadham from Waverly. So we have called the courier somewhere.
Yes, right here.
Is Young Arena open for walking?
According to the arena's website, walking hours are 7 to 9 a.m. and noon to 2 p.m., Monday through Friday. There are no walking hours on Saturday and Sunday, and walkers are asked to enter the arena through the lower level east entrance.
When will the real ID be required to fly?
Beginning May 3, 2023, every traveler age 18 years older will need a real ID, compliant driver's license, state-issued enhanced driver's license, or another acceptable form of ID to fly within the United States, according to the Federal Transportation Security Administration. Real ID compliant cards are marked with a star at the top of the card. For information on where to obtain a real ID, go to the website and click your state on the map. The site also outlines what is required to every state to get a real ID.
Wondering if the University of Iowa mascot Herky gets a scholarship or gets paid?
According to the University of Iowa's official Herky the Hawk website, all travel, hotel accommodations, per diem, practice apparel, shoes, uniforms, costumes, choreography expenses for Herky are provided by the University of Iowa Spirit Squad. In addition, scholarships are available to second, third, and fourth year members of the Spirit Squad, of which Herky is a member, as well as a few financial needed scholarships.
That does it for today's reading of the Courier for Sunday, December 5th, Tom and Eunice Pinginot have attempted to read some of the things here. You can access a recording of today's reading on our website, iowaradioreading.org, at any time. Thanks for listening.